him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night. Now keep in mind, Jesus Christ was the son of a carpenter. Simon Peter was a skilled professional fisherman. He did this for a living. He had his own business. He was good at it, apparently. He made a living by it. He knew that it was unlikely that there would be fish available to be caught in the nets during the day. They normally would have done their fishing at night. And they had toiled all night. Apparently, the fish weren't available, especially in that particular place. And so he used a human reasoning to counteract the thing that Jesus was telling him to do. Have you ever done that? Used human reasoning to counteract some of the things that the Lord is instructing or directing or leading you to do? We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy words, I will let down the net. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fish which they had taken. I want to speak to you this morning about at thy word. At thy word. Most of the time, we clash with the greatness of God's word. There's different conflicts that come into play when we hear God's voice and he speaks to us. I don't know how God does it, but he does. He makes his will known to us deep down in our souls. Amen. We hear, we understand. He makes it clear. God informs us. He directs us. God is a God of greatness. And there's a reciprocal relationship that we encounter, we enter into, and experiencing and understanding and having fellowship with the Holy God. He interacts with us. We hear his voice. And there are occasions in our life where we hear specifically and directly from God. He informs us of his specific will for our lives. And we also ought to respond like Peter does here. There are several things I want to bring to your attention in the course of this message. How there are times that we clash with the greatness of his word. How that we need to conform our lives to this great company. There's a company of greatness when we say at thy word. We'll do this or we'll do that. There also are comparative events that take place. There's a constant feeling of conflict when we hear from God and we receive direction from the Lord. I'm convinced that Peter, when he heard Jesus tell him to let down his nets for drought, that probably his heart began to flutter, or as we term it many times before we testify, our heart's fixing to beat out of our chest. He heard the Lord's word. The Lord directed him, instructed him. He knew it was the will of Jesus Christ for him to do so. And he followed, or he submitted to that direction. This simple obedience is connected with sublime greatness. You know why? Because His word has always been and will always be great. The word of God is great. It may never be recognized by science or philosophy or theologians of our day, yet it remains the strongest force in the sway of this universe at thy word. The Bible teaches us clearly that it's at the word of God that seraphims and cherubims bow down and cry holy unto the Lord. Time and space came to be and exist. Causes and the continuing cause of the world is the result of God's holy word. The beginning and creation of this world came about by the word of the Lord. There's a greatness associated with the word of God. And we should never clash with the creative forces of God's word. I assure you that when God speaks to you and tells you to do something, He has a reason behind it. There's a purpose. There's something He's trying to do, something He's trying to create in your life. The Bible says in Psalms 33:6 that by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. The Bible goes on and says that all the host of them came to be by the breath of His mouth. He is the creator. He, in the very beginning, you looked in the first few chapters of Genesis, the Bible says that God spoke out of heaven and He said, let there be light. And there was light. By the word of the Lord, all of the world was created. The greenness upon the ground, the water separating from the ground and being divided from the dry land, as the Bible says, and the dry land appearing, it all came to be by the word of the Lord. The vegetation, everything that exists on the face of the earth is a result of God's spoken word. In verse 9 of that 33rd Psalm, it says that He spoke and things were done. The Bible says He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. We, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, we believe the world's, plural, the universe, was framed by the word of God. There's a greatness associated with His word. And it's only when we act in conformity, it's only when we conform our lives, harmonize our lives with the greatest force on the face of the earth and this universe that we are balanced and in harmony with ourselves and with the spiritual dimensions that are all around us. The only time that we are in complete harmony with ourselves and with our Creator is when we obey His will. Whether you realize or not, some of you are having so much trouble in life, and the reason you're having so much trouble is your life is out of balance. You're out of kilter. You're even out of kilter with creation. The Bible says that creation obeys His voice. And when we get out of sync and out of kilter with His word, with His voice, when we clash with the greatness of His words, then there's a emptiness in us. There's a void in us. There's a irritation that goes on in our lives that can only be cured by saying, at thy word, I will let down my net. See, all of nature abides and moves by the word of God. Whether you realize it or not, all matters of politics, all matters of the economy, all matters of human history and world in times past and of the future, they directly stand underneath the word of God. They are controlled and they are governed by a sovereign Jehovah. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall by the word of God. Jehovah stands at the center of all things. Empires flourish and empires fall by the word of God. In Proverbs 21:1 it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord.
And it says, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Dynasties die, kingdoms crumble, mighty cities fall and become wildernesses. Men rise up and be armies, and they fall by the wayside by the word of God. See, the world past and the world future is governed and controlled and under the word of God. See, I'm talking about the greatness of his word. All right, and I'm going to bring this all around, hopefully. In the times that many that we clash, little peons like us, we have a tendency to clash our lives with something so magnificent, so powerful, something with such authority and such greatness that's ever been known or ever will be known. And we're not very, very smart when we do so. You know, for somebody to have the audacity to be in direct conflict and in direct disobedience with the Word of God, you're just not very smart. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6, he said, the world that was, he's talking about in the days of Noah, and it being overflowed and perished in water. He says, these same heavens and the same earth, which are now kept in store by what? By the word of God. We are sustained and we continue today. And the only thing that's preventing this world from being destroyed is that God just hasn't said it yet. Amen. Yeah, yeah. So, to clash with the cosmic forces or the control of the cosmic forces, God the Creator, it throws us out of kilter. We're out of cosmic order. You want to get the planets in line with your cosmic space? I'll tell you how you do so. You obey the Word of God. Now, I'm not all into this astrology and astronomy and I'm not for that. I'm not talking about that. But everybody's trying to get, you know, their equal whatever together. And I'll tell you how you get yourself pulled together is you become obedient unto God. Amen. And life falls together for you. Amen. Yeah. Yes, yes. I mean, when you're clashing with the greatness of his word, when you are disobedient with the word of God, domestic animals are smarter than you. You look in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 3. There, the prophet Isaiah said, the ox, he has more sense than a person who's disobedient to the word of God. The ox, he knows his owner. The ass, he knows his master. He went on and said, Israel is stupid and does not know. Listen, my friend, God is over you. He is sovereign. He's in control of your life. And whether you obey him or not, he will have his way and his will will his will will ultimately be performed in your life. Amen. Yes, he will have his will and his way with you. There are times we clash with the greatness of his word. There are times when we are, well, there's no greater companionship. We are a companion, when we obey him, when we do what he tells us to do, we are part of this companionship of greatness. We are associated with Peter, and we're associated with John and James and all the other apostles and early disciples. You know, these fishermen here, he simply said, let down your net. And when Peter let down his net, he was in concert, he was in perfect arrangement with ages past and ages to come. When he rang that little bell there on the Sea of Galilee, it was in perfect concert and in perfect harmony with the everlasting chimes of the universe. And when we, as small as a thing as it may be, when we obey God, we also are in harmony with the universal chimes of the universe. How when we obey Him, there's a synchronization that takes place. When we are in sync with all the ages past and all the ages to come, we're in sync with the Word of God. We're in sync with God above. And that's a great company to be in. Actually, good angels always obey God. Amen? And we're in sync with that spiritual force. See, it's a glorious thing. It's a glorious thing to be in step with the armies of God. It's a glorious thing to be part of this great force. See, it's always been the password of my space to have God in your space. Noah, he was told to build an ark. Didn't make sense. On dry ground, he was told it was going to rain. It never rained before. But you know, Noah didn't care what anybody thought about him or believed about him. He didn't care about what anybody thought. God had told him to build an ark. He doesn't care what you think about him now. Just like he didn't care what people thought about him then. I'm sure if he was here today, he said, I have built this great vessel because Jehovah God told me to. Abraham was told to leave Mesopotamia and go to Canaan and become a nomad to sojourn the rest of his life in a land which he would never possess, though he was promised. And he sojourned in Canaan, never owned any of that property except a little burial plot for Sarah. He walked around in tents, he and the rest of his family in promise, and he became a great nation. Israel and hundreds of thousands of years of history evolve around one man listening to Thus saith the Lord. Moses was told to go up out before Pharaoh and lift up a rod. You know, go behind before this mighty emperor, this mighty king. Go before this mighty Pharaoh and say, and lift up your rod and say, let my people go. Listen, we need to obey God. It may seem silly at times. It may not make sense, but if you are convinced that God is telling you and directing you and leading you to do something, you best do it, mister. Amen. Generations to come may be in the balance, at stake. Your family, the results of the future may lie within you following the leadership of the Lord. Bible says in Isaiah 55 and verse 11 that the word of the Lord will not return void, but it will accomplish what it's meant to accomplish. Amen? Amen. So there's a companionship with greatness. I like being associated with that great cloud of witnesses, don't you? You know, if I had the time, I could go through and I've got hundreds of witnesses that stepped forth and they just obeyed God. The Lord told them to do something, and they did it. And in my book, they are heroes. They are great men and women for the Lord. And history, the hinges of human history have turned upon the insignificant person following the leadership and the direction of the Lord. And you start comparing all these great happenings, creation, the continuation of the universe. The Bible says that this universe continues because of the word of the Lord. When you think about Noah and Abraham, Moses, and all the other great heroes of faith, when you think about the collapse of empires and the rise and fall of them as a result of the word of the Lord, when you consider the creation and also the end of the world, all hinges upon the word of the Lord. When you compare all of these these great things that have transpired by the word of the Lord. How are you going to compare that to Peter dropping his net off the side of the boat? Well, I'd like to this morning. And this is the point of the message. I hope you get it. Sometimes we think that us dropping our net off the side of the boat is insignificant. But I'm telling you, it's just as important as these other things that took place in history and in the Bible. If God tells you to do something, he intends for it to be done. There may be just as much importance in you casting your net on the side of the boat as Noah building that ark for the saving of his home. Oh, I hope you can grasp this, okay? You listening to the voice of the Lord and following the Lord might be the very thing that preserves and saves your family. Are you telling me that dropping that net on the side of off the side of that boat and that wave crashing down up on top of it is just as significant as those waves that came crashing down at the Red Sea upon the armies of Israel? Simple sometimes becomes sublime, doesn't it? The insignificant suddenly becomes great. The command that he received here on the Sea of Galilee never needs to be measured by earthly thought. Oh, have you ever heard the expression, an inch is as good as a mile? And in some cases, that's true. Well, this is one of those cases. It doesn't matter how small it may seem. If it is the smallest act of faith is powerful. When it's in obedience to the word of God. The command given, the act of faith that was done here. See, Peter, when he cast the net on the side of the boat, when he began to cast his net, his life began to correspond with all the principalities and powers and forces that control this universe. Now I realize that obeying God meets with great conflict sometimes. Amen? Seems like there are occasions when all the forces of evil rise up against us. And I'm going to say this. If you're really saved this morning, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Those of you that are not, well, you may have difficulty understanding what I'm saying. But when the Lord says, let that for a drought, we don't need to try to use human reasoning. We need to just simply do what he's telling us to do. Oh, me, when you start comparing what great things could take place if the church would just get back to the basics of listening to the Lord. I mean, Jesus said, tarry here at Jerusalem. Well, they said, we don't want to. Well, we've never tarried here before. I don't know any forefathers. Maybe we need to have a conference meeting and vote on it. Well, we're not going to tarry unless we all vote unanimously to do so. People, listen. When the Lord is directing the church needs to respond to it. We just need to listen to the Lord. We need to obey his voice. When we obey his voice, we are not going wrong. You can be assured. Oh, people today, they're boasting, well, you know, Bible. Bible alone is Christian religion. When we as a church say Bible alone as Christian religion, we lose sight of the power of individually pleasing God. We lose sight of the power associated with that. God has never fully been known only by Scripture. How did Adam know God? You know, how did Job, how did Abraham, what scripture did Abraham read to know to leave home and leave his family and his friends and go out there to Canaan? I'm sure he had obstacles and conflict, and we generally meet with conflict and obstacles. But listen, we need to say, at my word, there have been occasions and times in my life where nothing but the word of God would do. I needed more than the Bible. I needed leadership. I needed direction for my family's sake, for the sake of my ministry, for the sake of my life, and service to God. And in those times, during those times, on those occasions, the Lord has always been faithful. At thy word. At thy word. I have just a couple more points I want to make before I close. This should be applied to every aspect of our lives. Even the ordinary stuff can become extraordinary if we would just open our hearts and listen to the Lord. Here's the problem we're experiencing. We've been experiencing this for the last decade, maybe longer. We think the Lord only leads us in that 30-minute window between 11 o'clock and 11:30. And we listen and we want him to flutter our hearts and get us to, you know, stand up and testify. Listen, if that's the only leadership you're getting is that 30-minute testimony period, you're not getting enough.
Amen.
We gather to scatter. We need to go out there about our business, obey God.
Amen.
We need to be up on our jobs obeying God. Amen.
Amen.
When we go to school and by our comrades and dorm rooms and wherever the case may be, we need to be obeying God. When we're getting groceries at the grocery store, walking down the aisles, we need to obey God. When the Lord says, speak to that person, you need to speak to that person. That if God says, give them $5, you better give them $5. The Lord knows what he's doing. And I could tell you story after story, and I thought about it. I gathered a lot of different illustrations associated with this, people that have obeyed God, the effect it has. But in our professional life, in our neighborhoods, when you walk down the aisles at Hill's Grocery Store and you're dealing with people that you've dealt with for a long time, your various associates, you need to talk of the Lord. You need to talk to those persons, those people, especially when God tells you to. There are times the Lord has told us to let down our nets and we held on to them. And there have been fish. You go on in this chapter, he's talking about, he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He's talking about their evangelism. And I'm talking about our evangelism as a church. There are people that have been lost because we have not let down our nets. There's a corner of the world that must be evangelized. And you, my friend, are the only one that lives there. Let me say that again. There's a corner of the world that needs to be evangelized, needs to be told about Jesus Christ, and you are the only one that lives there. Man, if you ever grasp that, that's powerful, amen? It sure is. But this applies to every aspect of our life. Financially, do you think God can help you with your finances? Huh? Man, I tell you, the Lord can help you in every, and you know, if you just listen to him, he can help you in every area of your life. He'll help you marry the right person and move into the right neighborhoods. I mean, the Lord, if we would just listen to him, he can help us. He would keep us from a lot of trouble too. I mean, you'll know this is just not for me. This is not the will of God for me. I need to stop. I'm doing this. This is not of the Lord. Come on now. Does anyone know what I'm talking about here?
Amen.
You know, there have been occasions in my life where I had to put on the brakes, pull back the reins. Whoa, whoa, whoa. This is, I'm doing something that's not of the Lord. This is not what he wants from me. He'll help you in choosing your profession. Oh, man. Listen to him. A lot of people are not financially balanced in the areas of their life because they don't cast their nets according to the voice of the Lord. We need more than just field leadership to testify at a revival service. We need to be walking out there, out them doors, coming in contact with people and feeling our hearts beating out of our chest. Amen. Out there. Amen. As well as in here. See, it's the extraordinary results that could take place if we just follow the Lord. There's plenty of fish out there waiting to be caught. And we need to let down the net of faith. And at the Lord's word, let's do it. People, it's our business to do so. It really is. Our life's business to follow the Lord. We do not labor in vain when we labor in the Lord. Amen. This is our life's business. It's every Christian's life's business to be a soul winner. I know you're missionary Baptists. You don't hear very many messages on soul winning, but let me say this. He that winneth souls is wise. And we have very little wisdom nowadays being manifested in the church of the true and living God. But it is our business to be fishers of men. Amen. The old ship of Zion is a fishing boat. Hello? The old ship of Zion is a fishing boat. And it's time to be about the master's business and be fishers of men and let down our net. The church has been shackled through the years and has not listened to the Lord specifically concerning reaching a lost world. And it has been to our own demise and to great regret. Well, we've never done it that way before. Hey, it's not a matter of whether we've done it that way before, it's whether the Lord's telling us to do it that way now. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. I mean, if we do get any direction from the Lord, it gets kicked. You know, I'm convinced of this. I've met people that claim to be Christians, claim to be saved, claim to be church members, and claim to be missionary Baptists, and claim to be, you know, the backbone of the church, that if Jesus Christ himself stood before them face to face and told them to do something, they'd argue with him. Just like Peter did. Well, we told all night. Don't need to do that. You probably know some people that way too, don't you? Huh? Listen, there's one thing that we must do as a church. We must let the Lord Jesus Christ be the head of the church. Amen. We need to know how to reach this generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We need direction and leadership and wisdom and understanding on how to do that. And that should be our major and main mission of life. If the Lord did tell us to tarry here, we'd probably say, well, I've got other stuff going on in my life. I can't tarry here. Could you tarry 10 days like the early church in one mind and one accord for the lost world's sake? This is our life's business. The Bible says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Say that to all the seven churches of Asia. At the last of the book of Revelation, he says, he that heareth also says, come. He that heareth also. See, the Spirit of Bride says, come. And he that heareth also says, come. I was told of a man that preached in a small community. He'd been pastor of a little Baptist church for a long time. He was praying one night. And the Lord spoke to him and told him to go see this fella who was known to be one of the meanest men in the area. Well, he said, I don't know about this, Lord. And it became very clear that the Lord was telling him to go and invite this man to church. Well, I don't know about you, but you know, I've had occasions like that in my life. Well, Lord's directing me somewhere. Amen? Go talk to somebody. It's like, you know, one somebody specifically where I got a burden for somebody and need to go talk to him about their soul. And he said, okay, Lord. So the next day he went to that man's house and he knocked on the door. He was a little bit leery and a little scared because he had heard how mean the man was. And the man came to the door and he cussed him and he said, what are you doing here? Don't you pastor that little Baptist church down the road? And he said, yes, sir. He said, the Lord has sent me here to tell you about Jesus. And the man hollered at him and cussed him again and said, I don't want to hear about Jesus. And boom, spit in his face. Said, get out of here. Get off my property. Well, preacher said, man, walked away. Thought, well, maybe I didn't hear right. Maybe the Lord didn't send me to this man. You know, maybe I made a big mistake. Maybe this wasn't the kind of net I was supposed to have let down. Look what happened to me. I mean, no results. I see no results. Where's the fish? And went back to the little church and thought, well, I'll pray for the man. Got on his knees, started praying for him. Lord said, go back and see him again. Preacher said, wait a minute, Lord. You know what happened the first time. If I go back, he may shoot me. I mean, you know, the preacher started giving all these reasons why he shouldn't go back. I mean, did you see how he treated me? He spit in my face. It became clear, obvious to the young preacher that he was supposed to go back and see that man a second time. With a tremble in his knee and in his voice, he said, all right, Lord, at thy word, with fear, he went back to the man, knocked on the door. The mean man grabbed the door up, said, you back for more? The preacher said, God sent me back to tell you a second time that Jesus loves you. The mean man melted. I mean, just melted. He said, if a man come back and take more of the treatment that you received the first time, your religion must be true. Come in and tell me about your Savior. And the preacher went in and told him about Jesus. Listen, you need to obey God. You need to listen to the Lord. The Lord knows the beginning and the end. I assure you that when he directs you, he's working on the other end. And it may not make sense at times. There's times that it doesn't make sense. But it's not your business to make sense of it. You're still dealing with the word of the Lord omnipotent. You're not dealing with the word of a punk or a buddy or a friend. This is the word of the King.
Amen. Amen.
With authority and power and omnipotence. The word of the King, when it comes to you, do what it says. Don't use carnal reasoning. What about me, preacher? I've never been saved. Well, I'll tell you what. The Bible says that you need to obey the doctrine that's been delivered unto you. You need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. I taught a few Wednesday nights back how that the Lord speaks to us. He speaks to us from the pulpit. He speaks to us from his written word. He speaks to us through circumstances and situations of our life. He speaks to us through others. He also speaks to us by his Holy Spirit. There's a still small voice. Amen. Just like we read about in the Old Testament, it said, Samuel, Samuel, that still small voice still speaks to us today. And if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. He may be telling you you're lost. You need to get your life pulled together. He may be telling you you need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard that Jesus died and that he resurrected on the third day. You've heard that there's eternal life if you would trust in him and believe in him. And he's calling unto you. I believe the Lord still calls today, don't you? Calls out to people, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. The Spirit of the Bride says, come. Have you ever heard the Spirit of the Bride saying, come? The Spirit of the Bride saying, come. The Spirit speaking, saying, come. He may be saying, you come. Let us stand and sing a verse, some song. Would you come today? If you're lost in your sins, heed his word. At thy word, You know, there are people that heard that voice and stepped out of the aisle and got saved when they stepped out. You know why? You know why? They heard the call. Amen. And they believed and they stepped out and got saved. Amen. Listen to the Lord this morning. He may be speaking to you. And you need to obey Him at Thy word. Align your life with the whole cosmic universe by believing and obeying today. Let us sing.